We begin the second hour of the program this afternoon by getting on board the telephone line and welcoming in Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, who is enjoying a beautiful springtime day here in New England, right?
Oh, absolutely. But basking in the sun, sitting out on my deck, oh, just loving life. Enough for this weather.
We're waving the white flag here as well. It's kind of crazy, but hopefully that's...
The good thing is today the Red Sox are off, so people don't have to be subjected to sitting in a ballpark shivering and counting the seconds till the game's over, which is what happens. I can testify to this.
Let's talk a little basketball out of the gate this afternoon. Two terrific game sevens yesterday.
Well, you know, it's funny. They were dramatic. The first one wasn't so terrific. If you consider that Denver made its last three-point shot 8 minutes into the game when the score was 12-7. Believe that. And there were a lot of missed shots, a lot of stuff. But there was drama, like great drama. And it was certainly a C.J. McCollum show. And all those Lehigh engineers out there should be very proud of their greatest basketball player ever suited up for Lehigh. That's for sure. And there was great drama there. And winning a seventh game on the road and all that. And it was the best series of them all, by the way, from start to finish, which includes, of course, the four overtime game. That was the best series we've had so far in the NBA playoffs. Second game, obviously, will be talked about for a long time because of the ending. And it certainly was a dramatic ending.
Who do you think ends up winning this whole thing now?
Well, I'm on record. Well, I still think Golden State's going to win. But I'm on record. I picked Toronto to come out of the East before this all started because I had faith in Leonard. And so far, that looks like a very, reasonably sound prediction. But Milwaukee was very impressive in a way they didn't just beat the Celtics. They dispatched them. And the kid, and the big kid is phenomenal. And they're well-coached. And I think the other guys understand the whole deal. They know he's the best player. They play off him. They seem to like him. They seem to appreciate their spots, their roles. Guys coming off the bench don't seem to be having a problem with it. I think that's going to be a very competitive series. That one has a real chance to go seven. The other series, hooray for Portland, and I'm happy for them. I like that city. But I see a six games, but it will be what I call an easy six. There's a hard six and there's an easy six, and I think it'll be an easy six, which will culminate in them winning game six in Portland, like 121-97, something like that.
I'll never be as excited about a Trailblazers team as I was back in the day when former Maine Lumberjack Billy Ray Bates was playing for them.
Oh, well, that was a fascinating time. But I have really Billy Ray Bates immortalized in David Halberstam's book, The Breaks of the Game. People should go back and look that up if they want to. That was an amazing little comet that flashed across the sky, Billy Ray Bates.
Where did the Celtics go from here after this disappointing ending?
Yeah, that's a very good question. First of all, it all starts with Kyrie. We are going to assume he's gone. I think we have to. So that being the case, now the next question is, Terry Rozier is a restricted free agent. He can't go anywhere unless they allow it. How much do you invest in Terry Rozier? A year ago at this time, I think we would have all been quite content to have Terry Rozier be the point guard if Kyrie never showed up. But he did not play well this year. Okay? He did not react well to the diminished minutes or the diminished role or the diminished respect or whatever way you want to call it. And he sounded off after the game ending with Milwaukee and got it all off his chest. But I wouldn't give up on Terry Rozier. First of all, they got to find a point guard if they give up on him. So I think he's going to have to be overpaid to stay. That's number one. What I'm really concerned about is what happened to Tatum, and is this a direct result of the presence of Hayward or what? But Tatum, I thought at this time a year ago, we all did, was a steal the draft and a future perennial all-star and maybe someday down the road Hall of Famer. And he regressed this year. He did not progress anyway. And we need to get him back on track. And the one thing we do know, though, Danny's fearless, and if Danny thinks he can make a move for Anthony Davis, he'll try to put that package together. But the package is not as appealing as it would have been 3 months ago, since the package is going to have to involve some of their young talent, and even their draft picks aren't as enticing maybe as they would have been. But I think something's got to happen because That's just the nature of the beast. This is a very disappointing season.
Was there anything that Brad Stevens could have done differently with this team?
Well, you're asking me exactly how you change things, but I think how could he not feel that he's already gone on record because he's Brad and he would. He immediately fell on his sword right after the game. He immediately took responsibility that he could have done a better job, and he could have. He didn't get it done. You know, I bet if you go back, I'm sure I bet we had this conversation because I had plenty of these conversations, and I'm sure I had one with you before the season started, that this is going to be a different year, that this is going to be a year of challenge, that everything's been a kumbaya going up on the scale from the first year when he could have gone 0-82 and everybody would have said, you're doing a fine job, to where they were at this point last year. But it was going to be different because he was going to have to incorporate Irving and Hayward and keep everybody happy, and he couldn't do it. So something's got to change. Now, I thought Gary Washburn Gary Washburn had a good point in his column on Sunday in the Globe about the need to get a respected NBA person as an assistant, someone to replace Walter McCarty that they did not do, and to not have an exclusive staff of compatible buddies from Butler and
right.
College, but they need the name that was bandied about, which I don't know if the guy wants to coach or not, but the kind of person we're talking about that he threw out there was James Posey, somebody like that. And he, maybe him specifically, because he understands Boston. But I think, here's my thing, I'll settle on this one. I trust Brad that he is as good as we thought he was, that he will look in the mirror and take the proper blame, that he will try to change what he has to change, and he will seek good advice and listen to that advice. I really believe that.
We're talking with Bob Ryan here on Downtown. Red Sox coming off a sweep over the weekend, playing some good baseball lately, and reminding those who don't know that baseball is a long season, and it's not how you start that matters always.
Well, baseball, 162, you knew they were better than that, than where they were playing. It's just a question of, someday you got to say, this is it. This is the Popeye thing. It's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Play better. That's it. Play better. And once starting pitching kind of started to fall into shape, they've had the best ERA in baseball, or at least the American League, in the last 3.5-4 weeks, ever since that disastrous start. You knew that once Mookie got going, that would help. And then Devers, I'm still haven't figured out if it's Devers or Devers, but Raffy is leading the league. You realize that?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, looked at the paper, and guess who's hitting .336 and leading the American League in hitting? Devers, our guy, our third baseman. And they're too good not to, and they're going to be fine. They're now only 4 out in a loss, 3 out total. Long, long, long way to go. It's going to come down to them and the Yankees, I think. With all due respect to Tampa Bay, they're starting to recede. They're starting to have a little reality check.
Mitch Moreland seems like the perfect hitter for baseball in 2019, now with more home runs than singles.
I don't like it, but it is. You're right. He reflects the times. And how about Joey Votto?
Right.
Joey Votto had 100 home runs. He's got more home runs than singles career so far. How's that? And, that's where we are. I don't like this. I don't show anybody who professes to really love baseball likes it, but the problem is I hate the 3-point shot. That would be theoretically correctable by simply saying it doesn't exist anymore. But the things that make baseball more annoying and more troublesome are not correctable. The pitching. I don't think it's correctable unless everybody's going to start going to try to hit singles all of a sudden and become we really keeler. I don't think we're going back there to that. So. Baseball's problems are now embedded in the game. This is the way the game is going to be played now and forever. And I guess you and I better get used to it.
Bruins on a great run, looking like they're headed to the Stanley Cup Finals. Last week, a big anniversary, 49 years ago, Bobby Orr and the goal. As someone who knows Boston sports better than just about anybody, where does that moment, that championship in 70, rate in the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports?
Well, certainly in the Bruins' history, it's the supreme day in Bruins' history because obviously people can't relate to what happened in 1939 and 1941 with the Kraut line and all that, and Mr. Zero and the Mets and so forth. And maybe there should be more respect paid to that. And I don't know if people realize, but if the World War II hadn't come along, the Bruins would have dominated the 40s, and they were on the verge of being the dominant team of the 40s before the war. got everybody broken up, and the whole line went out that same night. You know that story is great. Anyway, May 10th, 1970, yes, that's the pinnacle of Bruins history. And the only thing that you always try to remind people is he got tripped after we scored. He didn't score the goal in the air. You know, it's like that Jeter drives me crazy. People think Jeter dived into the stands. He did not dive into the stands. He made a very dramatic and fearless catch on the field, and his momentum carried him tripping, flying over the barrier, you know, over the fence into the stands. Let's get that, put that one to rest. I'm sorry, I'm digressing. But Bobby Orr scored the wonderful goal on the great pass by Derek Hans Sanderson, and Noel Picard tripped him. And Ray Lussier, the photographer for the Herald, made one of the great sports photographs of all time, and certainly the most iconic hockey photograph of all time, and arguably the greatest Boston sports photograph of all time. And Bobby Orr is immortalized flying through the air, but it was after he was tripped by Noel Picard.
All right, Mr. Ryan, speaking of all time, I believe I saw on social media that you made the statement that Fun, Fun, Fun is the greatest Beach Boys song of all time.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, somebody put a thing out on Twitter about God Only Knows, and they were rhapsodizing about what a great, 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 great song it was. Okay, maybe if you're a Beach Boys fan, you might think that's their best song. Then he went on to say it's one of the great songs of the 20th century. So, you know, anytime I see that's red meat for Bob Ryan, I jump in. You know, am I passionate about this? No. I just can't believe that people think the Beach Boys are they should be slotted. They were a terrific group in the 60s. They made a lot of fun songs. They're one of the best rock and roll groups of all time. But they're not the Beatles.
No.
You know, they're not. They're not the Stones. Let's just take a deep breath here and stop overrating them. Now I got to listen to Pet Sounds, one of the great albums, and the Beatles were influenced by Pet Sounds to make Sgt. Pepper. Well, maybe they were, but guess what? They kicked the bleep out of Pet Sounds with Sgt. Pepper. They took it to another level. So I just love, and I like indulging in these fun things with music because that's my second passion, as you well know, after sports, it's music.
I know you like history as well, and we've got a big anniversary coming up this summer. We're asking everybody who was around for their memories of July 20th, 1969. Where were you? What do you remember about Neil Armstrong's first steps?
I was not a big NASA space, freaky type of person. I remember it, but I thought you were going to go with the biggest, to me, you know, well, certainly that's important, okay? But June 6, 1944, 75th anniversary.
Right.
That's the one. That's where I thought you were going. That's a very important date in American history and world history. And I urge anybody that any American of means, if you're fortunate enough to and have been blessed with enough financial wherewithal to do a European travel, you owe it to yourself to go to Normandy. I'm telling you, you owe it to yourself. Every American who can do so should go to Normandy and understand what happened on June 6, 1944.
Do you have to see Omaha Beach to truly appreciate what those men went through?
You have to go to Point Doc, Moslo, and you see those cliffs, and you admire, and you think of the heroism of those guys that scaled that cliff in the face of the German fire, and you see what the daunting, and then you see how they've left all the holes up there, the shells, and the whole thing, and the American Cemetery, which is like, you know, one of the most overpowering moments, of anyone's life when you go through the American Cemetery. And also, you should go through the German and the Canadian cemeteries as well. Normandy is one of the great things that you'll ever do if you're fortunate enough to have the opportunity to do it. And I've been blessed to be able to go there twice.
Bob Ryan, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today, Bob.
Okay, you're welcome. Anytime, you know that.